Hey everyone, welcome back to the Lighthouse London podcast. We have another startup story today, a new fresh young startup here. I've got Lucas Sauna here.
Hello.
How's it going today?
It's going really well. Excellent. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Yeah, great to have you in. As always, I think the best place to start is if you can tell us a little about you. And you run Mobility, you're the CEO and founder, is
exactly.
that right?
Yeah.
Great. So let's start off with a little history of you, yourself, and the company.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm basically an Austrian who grew up in Germany. So I lived almost my entire life in Germany, started to study there, got a degree in business administration. And then after, before graduation, I actually moved to the UK to start to work.
Nice.
And I started to work in banking here in the UK, kind of in Canary Wharf. And I was in the team advising power companies, energy companies like EDF, for example, across Germany, Austria, but also the UK. And all of the things were going well. But after some time, I realized now I have knowledge about the energy market. But when I come home and open the door to my apartment and I look at the pile of bills and especially energy bills on my table, I don't get what's going on.
Yeah, and then I realized, a lot of people can agree with that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what I realized. If I have this problem, although I work in this industry, there must be thousands of people out there who have even worse problems than these.
Yeah.
And kind of we did the research and it's not thousands of households, it's millions of households who have this particular problem out there.
Yeah, of all ages as well, I guess, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And then we realized, okay, it's not only energy. You have this across water, insurance products, banking products. We have all lost the clue.
Hmm.
And the big companies who give you the contracts, they actually bet on the fact that you either don't have the time to manage all of this and understand what's going on, or you don't know what's actually going on, so you don't have the knowledge to do it.
Yeah.
And so we realized, okay, consumers, the ordinary household is being ripped off by the big energy companies, by the big companies out there. And we said, this needs to stop.
Yeah.
And we realized there's one gap in the market, which is that you can look at the customer's entire finances, so his entire personal finances. And a lot of solutions which are out there, they show you a pie chart of what's going on in your finances.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
But we said, from what we see and from what we did in the validation with our customers, consumers want to go one step forward. They want to look at the particular pie within this pie chart.
Got it.
And actually improve it.
Yeah.
And so we decided, okay, our mission needs to be, we find out where customers are overspending,
mm-hmm.
where things are going wrong. We tell them that they are going wrong. But on top of that, we actually fix it for our customers.
Awesome.
Completely impartial, completely personalized. So whenever something, we spot something, we fix it for the customer.
Because I think banks are trying to do a lot of this stuff these days, right? They're trying to show you a lot more information and help you be smart about, you know, what you're spending. But this is that extra step on top, right?
Exactly.
And presumably that impartiality jumps out quite a lot when you read your messaging on your website, which I was on the other day, and having seen a new one is great, by the way. It made me want to sign up, which is really cool.
Brilliant.
So that'll happen quite soon. I guess you're offering that next step on top, which is really going to aid a customer, right?
Yeah. And that's kind of getting the long-term customer relationship, because we realized you don't want to look at your finances every day. And you just want to know that there's someone in the background making sure that things are going right for you and that he or she optimizes it.
Yeah.
And we want to be this person. We want to be in the background for our customers, helping them and being their point of contact to do that and improve their finances.
Talk to us a bit about the kind of validation steps you went through when you were in the early stages of the business.
Yes. So we screwed up in the beginning.
It's always nice to hear and hear those sort of stories.
So what happened is kind of we had the idea and we know that this problem exists there. But what we decided together with Julian, who is the co-founder and CTO, let's build a web app.
Cool.
And so we went there and said, okay, this is web app, charts, pie charts, here, graphs, whatever you've got there.
Yeah.
And then I remember the day because we were in the Ministry of Startups in the co-working space and we were in the basement. And then we kind of had this moment where we looked up and said, let's take a step back. What are we actually doing here? And we realized this is not the way forward because it will not reach the real proper product market fit. It doesn't get to the people. They don't understand what's going on.
Sure.
So we took a step back and said, okay, look, actually what we need to do is get more validation. Go out there, ask the customers and find out what their problems are, kind of the typical validation process.
Yeah.
And luckily, we were then part of Startup Bootcamp, I think last September started.
Mm-hmm.
And being part of Startup Bootcamp, it's kind of really a pressure cooker where, especially in the beginning, you need to do more validation. So you being ripped apart in the first week and they kind of show you what's going wrong.
Yeah.
And you realize it. If an outsider says, who doesn't even fully understand fintech, but if they show you what's going wrong, you realize, there are a lot of assumptions we didn't really test.
Yeah.
And so we went out there, we did surveys with 250 people, we had face-to-face interviews and really long discussions with people, which are not friends, but random people.
Yeah, yeah.
Finding out what's going on.
Doing it the right way, basically, yeah.
And then it hit us. Because what we realized there is consumers don't really download apps anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just don't.
Yeah.
And it takes so much to build a good application and get it out there to the people and get them to download it. And we said, this is not really agile for us. And we need to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of one of the questions we ask our customers is, what are the apps you use most of the time on your phones?
Mm.
And is Facebook Messenger, it's WhatsApp, it's WeChat,
yeah.
it's kind of these existing distribution messaging platforms,
mm-hmm.
which already exist.
Yeah.
And then we kind of said, boom, that's it. If we can tap into this network and build yeah. our solution based on this, this is something different, this is something new, and it's something from what we see so far, customers actually enjoy using.
That's great. I mean, because I was going to talk about that, because on your site, the call to action is sign up via Facebook Messenger,
yeah.
which I haven't seen sign up via Facebook before, obviously. But that specifically, I was quite yeah. intrigued. And that's like a really interesting take on why you've done that based on consumer need.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. And that so far has been a good way in?
Absolutely.
Cool.
So currently we're managing quite a lot of customers who sign up. And of course, and I'm honest about it, there's kind of this problem, and I think that's one of the challenges we face in this entire fintech industry, acquiring customers' trust.
Yeah, sure.
And in the beginning, what we did is we didn't talk enough about security, we didn't talk enough about how it works.
Yep.
And now if you jump into the bot, you will see that we actually explain quite a lot of what's going on also in the background,
mm-hmm.
because if we think from a consumer perspective, that's what you want to need to know. You want to understand what's happening with the security, how yep. is the data flowing and all of these things, because we touch sensitive data, your mm-hmm. bank data. And so it's something new, but it means you just need to explain more and be more open about what you're actually doing.
Yeah.
And well, that's what we saw worked with customers.
I saw the FAQs on there and the questions around Facebook security and all that kind of yep. thing, because obviously that's big in people's mind at the moment.
Yep.
And the fact that you're signing up via that platform means that people could potentially see your bank account, which obviously you aren't going to do.
Correct.
But yeah, putting their trust there is very important. Apart from the kind of sign-up process, what are your other biggest learnings through going through the validation stages? What else changed?
So I think what we learned is that the problem we are solving can actually be backed up. So mm-hmm. we see numbers of customers who are overspending. So in the beginning, we knew that there is a problem there, but now we can quantify it and say, okay, this is kind of the average problem we got for the customer we can solve.
Mm-hmm.
And now a couple of months later, the product works and we see that the numbers actually start to align.
Yep.
So you see, we actually can save people money, and we do save them already money right now.
Wow.
And it's a good feeling. Like
yeah, yeah.
kind of the first saving we did for a customer with a team, it was almost like a champagne celebration.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
an idea now became a reality.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's a slightly different take on it because, I mean, you're a business, so you're looking to make money, right? But at the same time, that idea that you are doing good for people and saving them cash in a situation where they previously probably couldn't.
Exactly.
Must be very nice to experience.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. So it sounds like quite a complicated thing to make, right, as a product. So I mean, you have a lot of, well, you've got a CTO on board, is that right?
The yes, co-founder? Exactly. Julian is the co-founder and CTO.
So what's about the rest of the team? Is there a lot of development stuff in-house that you...
Yeah, we do everything in-house.
Got it.
So we've got Michael, who is our software engineer.
Mm-hmm.
He's also an interesting case because he joined us as an intern
cool.
when we were really in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of 2 months later we realized, okay, if we let him leave, then we would screw ourselves, because
yeah, yeah.
he's amazing. And so he's now been part of the team kind of on the tech side. And Asakala is the UX designer, and she's co-doing all of this.
Yeah.
But for example, for the bank integration, where we can actually get the overview of the bank accounts across different banks from the customer,
mm-hmm.
we decided not to do that ourselves, because there are people out there who do it better.
Yeah.
And our party we're using is called Salt Edge.
Yeah.
And these guys have bank-level security in place. They've got the encryption. They have a different standard than we will be able to provide right now.
Of course, yeah.
So we took a partner on board who actually can do this, who can show to the customer, we are trusted, we are managing a lot of data, and we've been there for a long time. So we decided this is the way to go.
Yeah.
And so far, it works very well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you don't want to reinvent the wheel or anything like that on those front. And if people provide services that are trustworthy, it's always good to go down that route.
Yeah.
Yeah, we try and hand off to those kind of things where difficult problems have been solved well already. Yeah. So, I mean, how long has it been developing it so far? How old is the company now?
So, I mean, we founded the company in May last year.
Okay.
But then, as I said, kind of the web app stuff we did costed us almost half a year.
Wow, yeah.
And so building kind of the product you can use right now on the website, this has been built since October.
Okay.
So it really took us 6 months to get there. But now we're ready to go out there, ready for customers to come on board.
Nice.
And save them money.
So that's the big push right now, is to now you've kind of proven that the product works and tested it enough, it's time to get more people on board.
Absolutely.
Right? And did you kind of like, how was your launch strategy previously? Had you got like small numbers on initially just to do testing? How
Yeah. So of course you've got the kind of the group of friends and family who just test it.
Yeah.
And especially in the beginning when not all of the things work yet, you test with these guys.
Yeah.
And then we went out there and we've got a huge subscriber list, kind of people on the waiting list.
Cool.
And now we're adding them onto the platform step by step. And yeah, really getting them on board. So we kind of tested with more people on the waiting list because what we are doing is, as I said before, it's sensitive data. So we needed to make sure that what we do really works. It's perfect. Mm. And I think that's different in fintech, because in fintech, an MVP looks different to an MVP in another industry.
Absolutely, yeah.
Especially because it's so sensitive.
Well, if you're trusting of your money, you don't want something that is looking half done, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you go about growing that list? How have you been marketing yourselves?
So I think what helped us quite a lot is really Startup Bootcamp. Yep. So we're out there going to different events. We had a big demo day at the end of the program, which gave us a strong boost. But additionally from that also, yeah, kind of growing in the community of money-saving people and kind of saying we want to be the voice for the consumer, because so many issues we are addressing and so many issues we are trying to solve. And I think it's something everyone can relate to.
Yeah,
because when everyone who's also listening to the podcast comes home, they will know what I mean by that pile of bills on the table.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
it's kind of going out there and saying, "Hey, we are doing something new and building this brand within the market."
So, like, is there much competition doing similar stuff in the sector, or is this a relatively new thing?
Yeah, I mean, what you've got is, of course, you've got existing companies. Like, for example, Money Dashboard is a good overview there, who provide you with the charts and everything, giving you a good picture. And they've done a good work in getting more personal finance into the hands of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, on the other side, you've got things like price comparison websites, who have also been existing for a long time.
Yeah, of course.
And who are out there and have helped Britain save money.
Yeah.
But what we said is now the next step is more automation and a focus on full impartiality.
Yeah.
Because I personally believe that if I'm a consumer and if I want to trust someone, I need to make sure that this person is on my side.
Mm.
And we decided, okay, this needs to be reflected in the business model. So this is kind of where the idea of the profit sharing model started with our customers.
Yeah.
Because the more money we can save our customers, yes, the more money we earn. But this means that incentives are finally aligned.
Yeah.
And I think this is kind of the important step forward now to make sure that you can be a trusted financial assistant for customers.
So how is it that you make cash out of it, and what's the model there?
Yeah, so if you have, for example, if we save you £100, we're taking a 10% share of the savings we can achieve for you, so taking £10 out of this.
And if you don't save any money, then you guys don't get paid, presumably.
Exactly, then we don't get paid.
Win-win situation, assuming you save money.
Yes, exactly that.
Cool, that's a nice way to do it, actually. And again, that must go quite far to building trust of people that you only make cash if they save money.
Yes, exactly. Because what you see is that if I trust someone with my data, I want to make sure that I want to understand how he makes actually the money. Because if he doesn't make the money from me, he makes the money from something else, which is either affiliate and commissioning fees, which makes the kind of impartiality problematic, at least.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or selling of data, which also should never happen.
Yeah.
And so we decided that this is the only way to go and creating something to grow together with the users.
Awesome. So yeah, I wanted to talk about the kind of the tone you guys have set on the website with the copy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I found it nice that in a sector that talks about stats and facts and is, it seems like the expert and gains trust in that way, but is quite impersonal. Your tone's very kind of friendly and, like talking one-on-one with someone and talking in language that I think connects quite well, certainly with like a younger audience, I suppose. Yep. I'm presuming that's done on purpose, right?
Exactly. I mean, if you look, our target market and at the moment is more or less millennials up to 35-year-old, 40-year-old people, because this is something where we can help them right now. And this is also the copy on the website. You see, this is more friendly, more open, and kind of inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something we worked on quite a lot.
And why did you pick that group to start with?
Because, you know, we are solving a problem for everyone, but we need to start somewhere.
Sure.
And we say there are two reasons, basically, because this group of people is more tech affluent. So they are more open towards these solutions and actually trying them out. Because, for example, if I give it to my dad, he would have many, many more problems, or not even, for example, have Facebook.
Yeah, of course,
And this is something which
I'm glad my dad doesn't have Facebook, by the way. So yeah,
exactly. So if you look at this from this perspective, this will take another couple of years until we get there and can address the full market.
Yeah.
And second of all, also because this group of people, they need to save money, because either they're at college.
Yeah.
So they are at university, so they need to save money, or they're just starting to save for a mortgage or for a house, whatever mm-hmm. you have there,
yeah.
starting their first job. So we are really looking at a target market which has this problem massively.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's kind of the way we decided to go and go out to this market. And
nice.
Of course, what I forget, we are a young team. So for us, it's also more obvious because it's our market, it's our friends, our peers. So
yeah.
we know better
yeah.
of what's going on there.
It's a good place to start, definitely. I mean, yep. you know, everyone shares these problems, but working with people that you can talk to over a coffee or a drink yep. afterwards is always handy as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
What have you found the kind of biggest challenges so far in any aspect of building this business?
I think it's trust.
Yeah.
Because, as I said before, fintech is a little bit different because you touch the customer's data and acquiring or gaining the trust by the customer is quite difficult.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, our website was not really great and the product we had was not great, didn't explain enough. And this doesn't create trust.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we focus more on this kind of the branding on the website and explaining more, things are improving really, really well,
awesome.
Which is good.
Yeah.
And then now it's also building the trust, because when we did the validation, what we found out is, which is quite obvious, but we can back it up with numbers now,
mm-hmm.
is that you're using a product if a friend refers it to you. So
yep.
if you refer it to your colleagues, they are more likely to use it.
Of course.
And this also builds trust, because if
yep.
you trust us and then tell other people to use us, they will trust us much, much more from the beginning
yep.
than if we acquire them just straight from the web or somewhere.
Have you kind of built any strategies around encouraging sharing among friends and that kind of stuff?
Yes. So what we have is an invitation code system, for example, where you can give your personal invitation code
yep.
to other friends so they can sign up and get a good amount of free service from Mobility,
yep.
Encouraging early adopters to come onto the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we have public invitation codes, which we are sharing with
cool.
different
realities. I believe we have one now.
Exactly. So of course, if you go to www.mobility.co, so .co, and you can use the invitation code Lighthouse.
Awesome. Yeah, everyone should give it a go. We'll put the link in the show notes and we'll repeat that later as
Brilliant.
Well for good measure.
Yeah.
What have you like personally learned the most about all of this?
Well, that's a good question.
maybe a tough one, because it's quite a lot.
It's quite a lot.
Yeah.
And for me, because I'm quite young,
mm-hmm.
so I'm 24 years old.
Yeah.
So everything is new and you really need to go out there and be honest and be open.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the most difficult aspects is, especially if you have never managed people before.
Yeah.
Managing people from different backgrounds with different views on things.
Absolutely.
And there is no right or wrong. You just need to find out how to interact with a lot of different people.
Mm.
And this takes time. And so we got with the team very far, and kind of our team is amazing and great now. But it's not that kind of the theory, you sit down together and everything works from day one. It's
yep.
just not the case.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is, it's quite a challenge, but it's a super interesting one, because now things go much, much more smoothly. The team is really kind of aligned. We meet the deadlines we set internally. So it's
awesome.
It's amazing to see
good for you.
How things start to progress. And
presumably your role now is a different world to where you were in banking before.
Yeah. I would fully agree.
Probably better?
Yes, I enjoy it more. Like
yeah.
I wake up in the morning and I'm honest about it, and I enjoy every single part of what I'm doing.
Awesome.
And there are the downsides, and there are bad days where you have investors dropping out one day before signing something, and mm-hmm. we had these things.
Yeah.
But what keeps me up in the morning is to see now we save people money,
yeah.
and it works, and it will never be just a ride going up.
Yeah.
There will always be downs.
Of course.
But that's life.
Yeah, yeah. How did it go through getting funding for this? Was that a difficult process to go through?
So I would say yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of we got the money from Startup Bootcamp, which is relatively small.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 15,000 euros, which brings you to a good level and allows you to do more validation
yes.
and kind of it gives you breathing room.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good. And then we raised now an angel round together with our investors, with our advisors and outside investors.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout the Startup Bootcamp program, we built an advisory board with people who come from the financial sector or from kind of the legal sector and support us in growing the business.
Yeah.
And these guys are also investors now into the company.
Sure.
Which is definitely a very, very strong boost.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you've got the network of, yeah, of course, family and friends, but also external investors who are now on board kind of pushing this out.
And your investors presumably have a lot of help to give you as well as mentors and advisors for the business.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yes. I mean, having that stuff's really important, right?
Yep.
I mean, everyone we chat to It's a tough thing to do on yourself, especially like we get a lot of like young people come through starting companies, and I'm a bit older and still find it hard to run a business. You know, there's so much to think about. So having that network to fall back on must be a massive, massive help.
It's a tremendous help, because it especially comes well on the days where it's not going well, because you have someone to fall back to and they can tell you, okay, this is normal.
Yeah.
And every one of us experiences this, and these days just happen, and kind of now look at the things from this perspective and fix it.
Yeah.
And I think that's very strong. And also together with Julian, the co-founder, I'm honest, I would not be able to have founded the company without him.
Yeah.
Like A, because of the technical part, that's one piece. But the main issue is you need to have someone when things go bad and you can go in the night and drink a beer.
Yeah, of
and
course.
And just say, you know what? Tomorrow, let's start fresh again.
Yeah.
And someone kind of this friendship, this is just amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I fully agree. Well, there's two founders at Lighthouse as well. So it's always worked very well for me. And I meet people who've built businesses on their own, and I'm in awe of them, really, because that's, I mean, it takes a certain type of person, right?
Yes.
You know, very, very difficult. And I couldn't do that. I think having someone else to help there is massive. And talk a bit about Startup Bootcamp. Like, who would that be suitable for, and how might people kind of get involved in that sort of thing?
Yes. So, I mean, I think we were the prime example for that because we were first-time founders who don't have a strong network in the fintech world, in the financial world, who also needed a little bit of money. So I think we are a perfect example for that. It's, I think, a 10-12 weeks program where you start being agile by the book. So validation phases and going out there and doing all of this, the lean method, basically. And I think it's suitable for almost everyone. But the core piece is meet the people. For example, we met the people and we found out we liked them very much.
Yeah.
And working together with them, we enjoyed it. And so we said, okay, they accepted us. We get a good access to an amount of mentors and networks and investors. And we also can get access to corporate partners through the network. So for us, it was a win-win-win situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So we said, yeah, definitely, let's do that. And we don't regret it for a single day.
That's awesome. So how do you apply to that? What's the process there?
So we actually met at an event. So they're doing events from time to time in London and other cities around the world where they have kind of open house, and you can just go there. And we met Greg from Startup Bootcamp there. And then he said, okay, cool, what are you guys doing? And then he said, yeah, that fits quite well in what kind of the companies we want to have. So just apply on the website.
Yeah.
And I think the program, it's globally several locations, but the London program is where we attended to.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it started in September last year.
Cool. So you mentioned kind of growth is happening soon. Like what else is on the radar for you guys? What's the kind of short and medium term plan?
Yeah. So I think growth every day, that's what we need to show, and saving people money. So both growing the amount of users we have on the platform, but also growing the amount of money we save customers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think these two bits and pieces are quite important. And then raising funding later this year, a seed round, which we need to find to kind of to get more people in our team who can build the platform out there.
Yeah.
We have a good amount of people now, but to bring really full machine learning, artificial intelligence, and these super complex bits and pieces, we need money to do that.
Of course, yeah.
And
need a lot more manpower behind that stuff.
Exactly.
Wow, that sounds like some exciting stuff you're looking to build. I'm assuming there's like a roadmap of tech changes as long as your arm to go through. But
yes.
How do you choose which ones to do next?
that's a good question. We prioritize based on two things.
Mm-hmm.
A, what's necessary from a technical perspective.
Yep.
And B, kind of what does the customer want? And then actually it's three things. So, and C is kind of what we think needs to come.
Yeah.
Because often you have customers telling you one thing.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily the right way to go. It's kind of thinking about it and taking this feedback into yourself. But sometimes you need to go with your guts.
Yeah, of course.
And decide what's the next thing to do.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because there's always, you should listen to your customer and you should take that feedback in and react to it. But blindly reacting to that and doing exactly what your customer says isn't always the right thing. And you guys as experts there should know what might be better for them, even though they want one thing, but actually they want something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
That's exactly what's happening.
How do you interact with your customers? What methods do you have in place for that?
I mean, the beauty of our model is that we're using the Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
We can monitor kind of what's going on there and respond to customers. So if a customer has a question, for example, or if a customer has a technical problem, he can simply click on a help button or send help through the chat.
Yeah.
And this triggers in our background kind of a Slack message to the support.
Okay.
So we can jump into this and manage all of these bits.
And so everything runs through Facebook Messenger. That's the way that it works.
That's the way it works.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd actually never come across that before. I'm definitely going to try it out.
Please do so. And for example, what happens is with a Bank Connect, for example, then you click on a link which sends you outside of Facebook. So, yeah. Of course, these things are not handled through the Facebook Messenger.
Of course, yeah.
But it's a means of communication, yeah. which is quite nice.
Cool. Are there any other integrations you're looking at doing, or is that not? Are you going to stick with that for now?
So I think what we are looking for right now is what we're doing at the moment. Mm. And WhatsApp is getting hopefully API'd this year.
Cool.
And we think Facebook and WhatsApp are kind of the prime communication channels here in Western Europe. So that's definitely.
So obviously you mentioned WeChat earlier, and other global solutions are much more popular elsewhere. Yeah, okay. Is that something you've looked at doing, WeChat, or is that...
We looked at it, but the demand is just not there here in the UK. I mean, if we focus on WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger, we kind of target the large chunk of the market.
Of course.
But the WeChat model is interesting because this is, I think, exactly what Facebook is building with the Messenger. Kind of the companies like Mobility can join the Messenger platform.
Yep.
And that's how WeChat works, having different providers on one application.
Yeah.
And it works incredibly well.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where things are going.
Interesting. So, I mean, that all sounds great. It's a really, really lovely overview of the company and how you got there. Like, what would be your kind of biggest tips for young entrepreneurs or anyone looking to start up some kind of new business?
I think validation is key.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't do the mistake and build a web app if nobody needs a web app.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't print your business cards before you don't have a business.
So, yeah.
we did the same. But validation, going out there and having a structure, how you find out what's going on. And in many cases, you know that there is a problem, but you need to find out what's the real problem and how you can solve that.
Yeah.
So that's step one. And then step two, which is also an obvious one, have a team around you which you can trust and which you can fall back on and use this team and grow together with the team.
Yeah.
And then also, I think, which is particular for us in fintech, partnerships. Mm-hmm. I mean, working together with established firms and partners out there who already have the trust, partnering up together is something which brings you quick into the market.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Cool. Yeah. Great tips there. I think that was a great overview of Mobility. So thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. So everyone, why don't you tell people where they can find you online?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you just go on to www.mobility.co, Mobility with a double L, of course. The invitation code is Lighthouse.
Cool. Yeah, put that in. Can they find you on Twitter anywhere like that?
Yeah, of course. You can find us on Twitter at Mobility UK. You can find us on Facebook, Mobility UK.
All the usual spots.
The usual
right?
stuff, Instagram. And you can even call us.
Awesome. Give these guys a call. I think they can save you a lot of cash. And it sounds like a really exciting new platform who knows where these things go, right? But it sounds like a very interesting take on a problem that I know that me and all my friends have, and pretty much everyone I know has this issue. It's quite, people come to us saying that everyone in the world has the problem they're trying to solve, but I think this might be the first one that actually is true. Thanks everyone for listening, and thanks Lucas again for coming in. Please do tune in next time for the next of our podcasts. If you want to read some more content, go to our blog, wearelighthouse.com/blog. There's loads of stuff up there for startup founders, entrepreneurs, and corporate innovation teams. At We Are Lighthouse on Twitter, all the usual channels, you know where it is. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll chat again sometime.